football on off the ball.
International football is very tactical based. There is a lot of meetings and there's a lot of work on the opposition. It's different, but also it's similar as football. It's solving problems, it's different formations, it's different players, but at the end of the day, it's football.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Welcome back to Tuesday Night's Off the Ball, and this is a slightly delayed news round. Very happy to say that Arthur O'Dea is here with us. How are you doing, Arthur?
Great.
And Owen Doyle, back for the first time in a while for a Champions League night. Owen, how are you doing?
All good, Owen, you?
All good. You and I, we started this special slot last year called Pablo's Picks, where we went to a local Mexican place and just did football predictions outside it for one reason and one reason only, and that was so that we could be sent off to Mexico to cover the World Cup. We played the long game and we lost.
But we had a go.
Yeah, it's the first time I've seen you since
Much like the Ireland team, we had a go.
We had a go.
Yeah.
Off the post.
Yeah, devastating stuff. I've been back in Pablo Stall. I'll never give up on that place, I don't think. Well, I was in there an hour ago. The case it is.
Did they look as disappointed
as we
did?
They're being there as well. There was extra cheese on them today.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I never asked nothing for it. Like, it was lovely.
Surprise cheese?
It was a little surprised. It was covered and there was no surprises. It was just layers everywhere of it. It was lovely.
You also brought us in a whole box of Easter eggs today.
Well, yeah, like the office to be, if I know I'm a childcare provider and we have a few centres to be giving the kids Easter eggs, but there's a lot left over in the office there. I need to get rid of them.
Right.
So I was happy to bring them in and get rid of a few of them here.
Thank you very much. It was much appreciated. Champions League tonight, two possible comebacks on the cards. It could be Barcelona at Atletico. It could be Liverpool at home to Paris Saint-Germain. Just to remind people, if you're just joining us, of the Liverpool team tonight. So it's Mamardashvili in goal, Frimpong, Konate, Van Dijk and Kerkez along the back line. It's Gravenberg, McAllister and Szoboszlai and Wirtz, Isak, Ekitike. Could this be a team that provides another famous Anfield comeback on?
It's hard for me to have belief in them. I think PSG are extremely strong. And obviously Liverpool has been so far off, especially recently. I find it hard. Now listen, it's great to see the likes of Isak back in the team, and I know he made changes in the weekend, and then I think it's them four lads that came out of the team against Fulham are all starting today, and Kerkez, McAllister, Ekitike, and obviously Isak comes in there, Gravenberch as well, and Isak comes in there as well, but you know Isak isn't at it. Now listen, if this was the Isak that we seen at Newcastle, if he turns up like we know he's capable of, you never know. Him and Ekitike kind of leading that line there. It'd be interesting to see how they're going to set up, whether it's a front three or if you're going to the two of them, Isak and Ekitike up top on their own, to try to get after that PSG defence. But yeah, listen, look, you never know. It's Anfield, it's European nights under the lights. Anything is possible. It's just, it's hard for me to have the belief that, like, I wouldn't rule out that they could win the match. Getting through is hard.
Well, Arne Slot, let's hear a little bit from him. He said, and urged his critics, in fact, to not write his side off.
Of course, we know we need an exceptional performance to go through to the next round. But that's completely normal if you face the champions of Europe and you're 2-0 down. You know, we've also been able to score once in a while more than two goals. So, but let's first focus on the job at hand, and that is just start aggressive, making sure we can get back into the tie. And the best way of doing so is, of course, scoring the first goal, which we again know, because otherwise you're going to tell me, yeah, but against last season they scored the first goal over here, and at Arsenal they scored the first goal. So yeah, I know that they will try to score the first goal, but that's definitely what we are going to try as well.
Would this be on a par with Barcelona in 2019 if they were to come back from this?
Obviously there was a bigger scoreline.
It was 3-0.
It was 3-0 at the time, yeah.
Is this PSG team better than that Barcelona team was, though?
Yeah. What year was that? 17,
18?
19. No, 19. 19, okay. So I mean Barca did not win it in 4 years.
Do you reckon it's a better team, yeah?
This PSG team?
This PSG team?
Probably.
They still had Messi.
Yeah, Suarez. But you would say that they would. You would. I mean, that's not mad, isn't it?
I'd agree with you, yeah.
Yeah. Most people reckon they're probably going to go and win it again, I guess.
Mm.
Which is something that Barcelona never did.
I feel like it'd be probably beaten that 09 or 11 Barca team or something.
Yeah.
And they were in their pomp.
Quite a different prospect. That was a special night for you, was it? The Barcelona comeback night?
Well, yeah. My youngest, I was living in Liverpool at the time. My youngest was born that night not during the match, but my wife was in labour during the match. And I was in obviously the Royal Hospital in Liverpool, and was a bit of a lull in the labour. I was told by the midwife to go out and grab something to eat. There's no signal in the hospitals. They're like prisons. The yard walls are so thick. You can't get signal on your phone. And so I dipped out and the messages are coming through. The game is on. The comeback had started. And I'm actually driving down Smithdown Road. And I never seen like it before. There was people out on the streets looking into the bars just through the windows at the match. The bars were that full. That's probably what, 4 miles away from Anfield, I'd say, just around the corner from the Liverpool Women's Hospital there. I couldn't watch any of it because I didn't get me chicken and got back to the hospital. But she wasn't having me calling the baby or Iggy or Trent, or I tried my best, but it wasn't going too well.
Divock Doyle would have been a great one.
In the ringer, yeah. But she wasn't having it. But deadly. Look at this. Is it a bigger comeback? Probably is, because this is probably a worse Liverpool team.
There's that as well.
You know, well, current form. And yeah, no, they are a worse Liverpool team than what Liverpool were back then. But yeah, no, I think it's too much of an ask for them to get over the line.
Like, this is complete hindsight merchant talking here, but was there not a sense before the second leg of that Liverpool game that something special could happen? You know, let's give this 20 minutes to see if Klopp can work his magic with this team, this brilliant Liverpool team. Like, or was that all pie in the sky talk, just like it feels pie in the sky to predict that Liverpool come back tonight?
See, I remember at the time before thinking it's gone, it's wrote off. Because they were playing, like, the best player of all time, Messi, and like Suarez was in reasonably good form still at the time, all these unbelievable players at Barcelona. But then afterwards, there was loads of stories have came out after, because it was just a historic night. And I think I remember reading an interview, I think Mane or Robertson or something might have done, and they were talking about getting into the ice baths and a couple of days before the match and having a conversation and training, basically saying, I think we're going to do it, you know. And like, in hindsight, you're looking back now and you're hearing these stories and you're like, yeah, we all had that feeling that we knew the comeback was there. But I actually strongly remember at the time thinking, oh, this is done, it's over, until I got sent for me
leg was the Messi free kick, the last goal. Was that the one where it had gone
on the first leg,
2-3? Yeah, because I doubt to the contrary.
That was like
point.
Proper postage stamp. That
yeah,
it was. Wasn't
I remember, when that went in, I was like, oh, they're not. There's no way you can foresee this happening.
The Barcelona team from Anfield that night, Ter Stegen in goals, Alba, Longley, funnily enough, is playing against Barcelona tonight for Atletico. Alba, Longley, Pique, Roberto, Rakitic and Busquets, Coutinho, Vidal, Suarez, Messi. Yeah, this PSG team is better than that.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's going to be interesting. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff, as I mentioned elsewhere tonight. Atletico will be looking to hold on to or better their 2-0 advantage in the second leg of their quarterfinal against Barcelona. Now, with regards to tomorrow evening's games, Arsenal are facing more injury concerns ahead of their quarterfinal second leg with Sporting. Declan Rice was absent from training. Bukayo Saka also remains sidelined. The Gunners have lost 3 of their last 4 matches in all competitions, increasing pressure in the Premier League title race and in their push for Champions League success. They're holding a narrow advantage after a 1-0 first leg win, and boss Mikel Arteta has dismissed suggestions his side are bottling their season.
What we are trying to achieve is difficult, is challenging, is bumpy at times, so you have to confront it. And what I basically said, guys, we are trying to do something, and in this competition that hasn't been done in the history of the club in 140 years. So that tells you the difficulty of that and what you guys are doing. It's the first time that we are 3 years in a row in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. The first time in our history. For other clubs, that's the daily meal. For us, no.
Sporting are going to be licking their chops at Arsenal, given what happened over the course of the weekend. Owen, this is all connected?
I think the gap is too big. I think Arsenal are more than enough to get through that.
The quality gap between them and Sporting.
I think Europe, and especially against Sporting, won't be that tough at home for Arsenal. I think Arsenal need a good performance just to prove to themselves after the weekend there that they're fighting and fit and ready for Sunday against City, because that's a massive, massive game after what they've just recently been through. But regarding tomorrow, like, obviously Declan Rice, if he's out for anything more than, I think they can deal with getting through the fixture tomorrow without Declan Rice, without him in the team on Sunday. I think that'd be a big problem.
Yeah, even in the context of last Saturday, he was the only person in that Arsenal team who was giving them any bit of sort of any point of difference at all, any bit of go for a ball. Quite often that was just him taking the ball and dribbling.
Running, yeah. He'd have a go. Yeah. It's very disappointing. Like, it's, they're just lacking any creativity or kind of like want to just go out and grab it. You know, it's like, let's just please not get beat here. And more often than not, when you have that attitude going into matches, you're just opening yourself up for to be beat. And that, from looking at it from the outside in, it looks like that. And like, say something here, the Arsenal fans as well are a bit of a disgrace, because at no moment through that whole game did they start a chant or do anything really. It was like watching a testimonial at times with the atmosphere there. They're as nervous as the players on the pitch.
But the players are transmitting that.
Right, but if you're 9 points clear of the Premier League and you're at the business end of it, they should be singing from the minute that.
If you're 9 points clear at the top of the Premier League, you should be taking the game to Bournemouth.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but you should be singing from minute one. But they're not. Like, they should be, like, the minute that the ref blows the whistle, they should be in party mode. But they're not. The Arsenal fans
aren't. They clearly haven't won the league. You can't be in party mode when you're 9 points clear and Manchester City are breathing down your neck.
See, you're
game
a typical Arsenal fan.
I'm a neutral observer.
No. You've been a disgrace over the last few months. And the last time I was in here, you were in four competitions. Now you're down to two, and potentially could be.
What
could
do you
be
think? You? What are you pointing at me for? Like,
typical. See, this is the you're a certain type of character, Arsenal fans.
Well, go on.
Keep going.
Well, basically, like, you're going to have
10 million lawsuits.
Stop being so expectant of great things on the pitch and try to create something for your players.
Far from expectant.
And go and try and make them create something, back them.
Is it not the case that every stadium kind of has this massive sort of crescendo before kickoff? You sing your song and then game kicks off, and then you kind of settle into whatever happens in the game. Like, it happens at Anfield as well, where, you know, you can even see it on
not
television.
For 90 plus minutes. I don't think any Liverpool fans would boo their team off, even if they lost and they're 9 points clear the top of the Premier League.
I think booing your team off is absolutely not on.
Did you boo?
I was watching it at home as a
Arsenal hater. I'm sure you did.
As a sports journalist analysing Bournemouth as well as Arsenal, of course. A Saturday at 12:30, put my notes out.
You only ever have your Arsenal goggles on when you're watching Arsenal. I've been in here with you when Arsenal's been on, and you're a disgrace. There's a serious lack of professionalism from you at all when it comes to sports broadcasting.
Yeah, I've been getting pelters for not defending Arsenal, actually. Like, on social media, this guy's supposed to be an Arsenal fan. And I just let the likes of you, you know, defame the entire club. Do you not think that there is a merit in the argument, though, that the team and the way in which they play, in terms of how cautious they certainly approached last Saturday, that's a huge reason why the stadium feels like a nervous place? Like, the fans are, in part, spectators. And the thing that they spectated was a situation where Bournemouth came to the Emirates and took the game to the team who were 9 points clear at the top of the Premier League. But that's a pretty nerve-wracking situation to be in. That's a pretty shell-shocking situation to be in.
They haven't had a better chance than this in a very, very long time to win the league. And they still have a really, really strong chance of doing it. Like, they 100% are favourites still in my eyes of going on and just doing it. And winning that first one could be crucial. Just getting over the line and then potentially kicking on from there, because they got the muscle memory, they know they can do these things, all that stuff. But you're kind of at the stage of the season now, and you kind of probably seen it in previous year, especially Man City, Liverpool, that, like, you used to know the results that Man City and Liverpool are going to produce March, April, May, because this is the end of the season. They've got their rhythm. They know just how it's all about them, and they know they're just going to go out and just do their thing and win. But Arsenal's approach isn't really like that, whereas it's very set piece heavy, percentage balls. Like, as you said there, like, Declan Rice shouldn't be the one that's taking the game to the opposition, to Bournemouth on the weekend. Anytime, like, there was loads of phases during the game where there was just channel balls down to Jokeres, and don't get me wrong, he was great, he was working hard and getting down the channels and trying to hold it up, but from then there wasn't much creativity going on, and that just kind of leaves them open to being able to be attacked, and a bit of positive play from Bournemouth just opened them up completely. But I still believe the Arsenal fans should be behaving in a better manner. They should be really trying to just lift their team and realise the position they're in. Of course, it's hard to get that It's hard for like one Arsenal fan isn't going to go in that, but a group in the side, the stadium, the singing group or whatever, should be trying to take the lead there and just try getting into a bit of party mode and create a bit of atmosphere to kind of force the players into. And don't get me wrong, I fully blame the players here as well. I do blame the players. I just find it very unique that the atmosphere when you're 9 points clear the Premier League, regardless of what performance is going on the pitch, that the stadium behaved like that.
Back on the Liverpool point, Burbuck on YouTube says the away goal threat made the Barca comeback infinitely harder than tonight, which is a fair point. The game has changed a little bit with regards to that rule.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that, yeah. Yeah, so the last game was definitely much harder.
Yeah. There was always that, trying to go after that sort of deficit and also knowing that Messi and Suarez are on the pitch and they score once, you've got to score, five times?
Yeah.
That is a pretty mad situation in which to be in. The other big news today in terms of Premier League football is that Andoni Iraola will step down as Bournemouth head coach this summer after 3 years with the Premier League club. He has the club competing for a place in Europe this season, having led them to a record points total in the previous campaign. It had been reported that he wants to return home to Spain, although I'm not entirely sure that it is going to happen. Feels that he'll have plenty of Premier League suitors should he want to hang around.
You saying Man United?
Possibly. What if Arsenal lose every game between now and the end of the season?
Sorry, oh, no. Back to Arsenal, are we? I think this is it. This is why. Why would you be concerned about that? Losing every... I know you're being somewhat facetious, but...
Being massively facetious. I
still...
But what about Chelsea for Iraola?
Not if he's any sense.
A few bob.
He will make a bit of money, yeah. But no, why would he do that? Crazy. Professionally, I mean financially, yeah, for sure. But like, why is he being linked with those jobs? Or I mean, we're linking him, I know that, but why?
Because I think he has shown, yeah, exactly, he's shown the most important thing that you look for in a manager, which is overachieving relative to the squad strength.
Okay, but, and that doesn't factor in, I guess, all the other things, because we don't hold everything. So the same chat... I remember this before. There was a thing, you know, Man United had to do those open press conferences because they were on, or open kind of board meeting things because they were on the stock exchange. So they had to have a thing for investors. And there was a thing a few years ago, I think it was Ed Woodward or Richard Arnold were talking about the thing about why Man United couldn't go and sign N'Golo Kante when Leicester had signed him from, I think, League Two in France. And it's like, it just wouldn't play. Now that you could say like, okay, that might be the first few weeks or whatever, but then he's playing, it's like, oh, this guy's class, doesn't matter. But for just from the optics point of view, you couldn't go and do that at Man United because it would perceived as a lack of ambition and maybe they get swallowed up and whatever else. So the same thing now with Carrick, and it goes back to Iraola. What has he done there that would make him, in your eyes, a somewhat sure thing to succeed when he goes into a whole new set of circumstances when what you're just... judging him against isn't what he's going to be judged against in the new role?
Yeah, it's a fair point. But then again, the same concern could have been had around someone like Mauricio Pochettino before he made the jump up to a level like Tottenham Hotspur. You just don't know until you're in that situation. So all of a sudden, you're kind of just casting the net for super club managers or managers who have sort of managed the expectation of a massive fan base, a massive club, and you can't really take a risk on somebody like that. Like the idea of taking an Iraola, maybe you look at, say, Thomas Frank going to Spurs and how much of a disaster that was. Maybe that has a knock-on impact on Iraola's chances of getting a big Premier League job, because that's the sort of trend now that people can't make that jump up. Graham Potter at Chelsea, another example, although there are probably other factors at play at both of those football clubs as to why a manager might not be able to succeed.
I think I have to look at his trajectory. So like, he obviously got the Bournemouth job because he was exceeding expectations in Spain. And then he goes into the Bournemouth job and he exceeds expectations there as well. And it's like, right, the next natural thing is for him to kick onto the next level of the game and see if he can do it there. And that's probably why the likes of him would be... Man United might be... I don't know, you could probably see him in at Chelsea before you could see him in at Man United. I wouldn't rule out Man United hanging on to Carrick if they get Champions League football. I know United fans after watching last night wouldn't be singing his praises, but if he does go on and get Champions League football, I think that's a huge overachievement from Carrick himself. Ariola, like, the fact they have Liam Rosinha in there as the manager suggests that Ariola is more than capable of going in and being their manager if they were to part ways with him. But yeah, I don't know. Like, if he could he go back to Spain, just don't know what type of character he is. Maybe he's just homesick. You never know what's going on.
Adrian's been in touch to say, I was at the Emirates on Saturday. The atmosphere was not as the anti-Arsenal ad is calling out. His attack on Arsenal going fans is very wide of the mark.
It came across like that on the telly.
Do you know why that was potentially happening, Owen?
Go ahead.
Did you have the commentary on?
I had the commentary on.
From like minute one, Fletch was like, oh, this place is awful. Oh, you can hear the nerves. If you don't actually speak for a moment there, Lucy, you'll actually be able to hear the groans. It's essentially what he was saying in his commentary. And I was like, fair enough, I'm going to trust you as the neutral observer here. But maybe Adrian here actually has a more accurate summation of what the stadium was really like. You can hear the groans is what he was telling me. I couldn't hear the groans on my TV, but Fletch was telling me I could hear the groans.
But it was really flat though. So like the atmosphere in the whole stadium was flat from the commentary. So obviously, listen, I'm an armchair fan here, but obviously that man that was at the Emirates would have a better view than I would, but that's what I ran out. That's what I took from it anyway.
Patrick says, if Arsenal lose tomorrow, they may as well hang up their boots and finish third.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
Okay, elsewhere in football today, Union Berlin's director of football.
What does happen, sorry? So say they don't win tomorrow. Say they get, like, it's do well, get knocked out on penalties, something happens, and then they go and lose at the weekend. What does this day next week look like? Mm-hmm. If they've, like, you know, like, how quickly? Because I'm with you. I still
he sees
think
it out.
Will,
he sees it. Like, it could go his job isn't at risk now. He sees
free
it out.
Fall. Like,
yeah, but he sees it out. Like, there's no.
Yeah, no, I don't mean that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, but like, it's such an odd scenario they've got themselves in, where it almost, it's a little bit like the McIlroy thing, not without having done it before, but like where it's just
like the McIlroy thing last year.
Yeah, where the lead has been so high to a certain degree, they've been so far, they've been ahead for so long, they're to lose it now. I think it's for the fans. I think it's the embarrassment. Because it's a big club, but they've not been winning. And now it's a case of they'll get... So it's not like a... Nobody is viewing this as an underdog story.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Everyone's like, this is kind of where Arsenal should be, even though I think he's done a great job, Arteta, and everything, but this is kind of where they should be. So if they were to be on top this long and not do it, it's just sheer embarrassment.
Well, I think...
Having to live with that.
As has been covered on this show extensively, there has never been a greater hate watch in the history of the Premier League, like in terms of the criticism of this Arsenal team, the schadenfreude that people get out of seeing this Arsenal team potentially not succeed, I think is greater than any level of schadenfreude that's ever existed in the Premier League era.
A lot of people got a lot of joy out of Man United the last 15 years.
And I think that if Arsenal, and this is where the Manchester United thing will differ, if Arsenal were to subsequently not win the Premier League at the end of this season, that will be the most possibly satisfying way for this football season to end for a lot of spectators. You've never had that payoff at United.
No, you haven't. You're right.
You couldn't script a better outcome to the season than Arsenal being 9 points clear and winning nothing for the people who've been hate-watching all season.
I think your recent comments just sum up Arsenal fans, and everything I said previously is bang on the money.
Why? Why?
Well, just like, I don't think it's been a big hate-watch.
I don't think you've...
This is your Arsenal bias just kicking in here. It's just taking over. You've lost all professionalism for the role you're in here. There's absolutely no chance you get sport broadcasted the year 2 years in a row.
The commentary around this thing has been insane. Like Jamie Carragher, I mean, and his Telegraph column being like, wow, Arsenal has basically made us want to see Manchester City win this trophy on Sunday before the EFL Cup final.
Jamie Carragher doesn't speak for everyone.
No, but the commentariat and their tone of Arsenal season has been very dismissive and very critical of their style of play, rightly or wrongly.
The whole Premier League style of play has been like that. That's across the board. So I think you're very, very sensitive to any negativity that comes towards Arsenal.
No, I am espousing the negativity.
Like Arsenal fans all over the world.
I'm espousing the negativity, not sensitive to it. I had one other football story for you. Union Berlin's director of football has called the online sexist comments aimed at new head coach Marie-Louise Etta as simply embarrassing. She became the first woman to take charge of a men's team in Europe's top five leagues when she was named boss until the end of the season last weekend. And Horse Health says it's absurd they're having to justify the appointment. Now, in Gaelic games, Wexford have been boosted ahead of their Leinster Senior Hurling Championship opener with captain Jack O'Connor and defender Liam Ryan both available for selection. Manager Keith Rossenter says O'Connor is just about fully right, while Ryan has come through recent internal games without any issues ahead of the trip to face Kildare in Newbridge. Wexford begin their provincial campaign away to the Lily Whites on Saturday evening as they look to make a strong start in the round-robin series. Now, Dublin football manager Ger Brennan's latest attempt to overturn his 12-week suspension has failed after the Central Appeals Committee upheld the ban. The suspension stems from an incident during Dublin's league clash with Galway, meaning Brennan is set to miss the upcoming Leinster Championship. Dublin are now expected to consider taking the case to the Disputes Resolution Authority in a final bid to reduce or overturn the sanction. We haven't seen the DRA in action for a while.
No. Where will this... So this will take him up through the end of the Leinster Championship. He'll miss the whole lot, will he?
Yeah, 12 weeks, but 12 weeks is a Leinster Championship and beyond, I would
argue. I presume it's back then. It happened, yeah. So
it was about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Sure, you're right. You can't be too much in it. Probably do it. Maybe you get a round robin game as well. I love to see the efforts. I love to see the efforts being put in to get around the law any way you can.
Now, the GAA has apologised to subscribers after technical issues disrupted coverage of the Connacht Championship clash between Roscommon and New York at Gaelic Park. The outage was caused by a complete broadband failure at the venue, with technicians working to restore a stable connection during the match. The association says it regrets the disruption and has assured viewers steps will be taken to prevent similar issues affecting future broadcasts. Elsewhere then in rugby, Leinster have confirmed that Tommy O'Brien has signed a contract extension. The winger made his senior debut back in December 2019 against this weekend's opponents Ulster. He scored 8 tries in the last 5 games across Leinster and for Ireland. And then finally, Dermot Barron, Brian Gleeson and Calvin Nash have all been cleared to play for Munster this weekend. They're going to face Benetton in the URC on Saturday evening. Ollie Jagger, Conor Bartley and Jean Klein have also returned to training ahead of that tie. Now, loads still to come. This evening we're going to be joined by Paul McGinley at around 8:30 this evening to reflect on Rory McIlroy's Masters win. Neil Ewing and Aoife Fitzgerald will join us after the 8 o'clock news as well to dissect the weekend's Gaelic football action. Owen Doyle with us for the whole evening. He won't be bashing Arsenal and Arsenal fans all evening long. He'll be focusing his attention
on
his beloved Liverpool as the evening progresses. The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect. 50 milligram film-coated tablets contain sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150ml tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.